desperate for.
Heavenly Father, indeed, Lord, we recognize our wretchedness without you. And we ask for mercy. So go into your word. We recognize it as the word of God. And so, Lord, under the covering of my fathers, I now dock. Under the Lordship of Jesus, I ask for fresh mercy. Help me to be faithful, to bring forth this word as a pure word. Lord, a word in season, a word of encouragement, a word that is anointed by you. Anoint my heart and my lips. Help me to speak as an oracle of God, that your word will come with power and in simplicity, with clarity and purity, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit. Let it go forth, Lord God, into the hearts of my brethren. I pray the same unction and anointing as upon my heart and my lips. Let it be upon their hearts and their ears, so that there will be a resonance of that word in their hearts in the name of Jesus, causing veils to be torn and removed, yokes to be broken, strength to come to our feet and our ankle bones, helping us, Lord, to run deeper into the temple. Lord, to run deeper into you, to become more like you in the name of Jesus, and to be faithful witnesses, Lord, of the power and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask for mercy. Help me to redeem the time, to be concise, to be precise, not saying unnecessary things, but Lord, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, Lord, to speak only your words, so that Lord, your word will flow with precision, with power, redeeming the time. Let your will be done throughout this time of ministration. Help me to stay on track. Help my infirmities. Thank you for mercy, so that your will is done and your name is glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. And the title of this message that God dropped in my heart is Witnesses of His Glory. Witnesses of His Glory. A witness can be defined as somebody that saw something that happened or saw something that was said. That is one definition of a witness. Another definition of a witness is evidence or proof that something is true. The Bible calls the Lord Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 1 verse 5. Says He's the faithful witness. And God wants us to be witnesses of His glory, to be faithful, to reflect Him in all entirety. Lord Jesus said, you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And that is the will of God for us, and we are going to fulfill it in Jesus' name. Amen. And God wants to encourage us to lay aside whatever it is may be holding you back, holding me back, so that we can really give ourselves fully, like these songs of consecration have depicted, can really give ourselves holding nothing back in Jesus' name. In Acts, in the book of Acts, in chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 8 that Jesus Christ talking to the disciples, he says that you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you to make you witnesses. Look at it. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Wherever we are at our level of spiritual development, God wants us to be witnesses. Amen. And as we grow spiritually, we become more effective witnesses. The Bible says that the disciples with great power gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was hearsay. Some people were disputing, didn't know it happened, it didn't happen. Graves opened or it didn't open. But when they did it, and the Bible says a notable miracle has been done that cannot be gainsaid, it was a witness. Nothing you can do about a witness. Lazarus was a witness. They could not say, God wants to witness His glory. He wants to witness His character. He wants to witness His mercy on the earth, so that people's mouth will be shut up. And He's counting on you and I. and we're not going to fail in Jesus' name. The same way it was in the book of Acts, when the Bible says that they were in the upper room, they gathered together in prayer and supplication in one accord. And then in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says there came a sound of the rushing mighty wind. That was the earnest. But now God wants to give us the fullness of the Spirit. The Spirit without measure. So the same way we say, be it unto us according to God's word. And we also must now make sure that we are not departing from the upper room. There were some people that they told that be in the upper room. Told his disciples, be in the upper room. And in 50 days, in 7 weeks, only 120 were in the upper room. You will not leave the upper room in Jesus' name. It's a cyber upper room. And that's where we talk about good morning, Jesus. Thank you, Pastor Brigger, for keep emphasizing these things and our fathers as well. No, the triple A rating, you must have awake, not just being in the upper room, but being, participating, contributing in the upper room is so critical now, brethren. And God is going to fulfill his word. Now, the Great Commission is in Matthew 24:14, says that that the Lord, give it to Matthew 24:14. Thank you. Very quickly. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. It is necessary for this to be done. Because without it, the end cannot come. And Satan knows it. So anything he can do to make sure that we are not witnesses or the gospel is stifled will delay the plan. But he has failed in Jesus' name. So the plan of God is that we're going to preach the gospel of the dominion of divine love to all ethnos with the witness of glory so that men will be without excuse. That's the will of God. Okay? And just the same way, you know, if you look in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit is bringing it to me. So I'm just saying it. I'm moving with the Holy Spirit as it's leading me. In the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 7, in verse 58, the Bible says that, and they stoned Stephen. And there were witnesses that gathered around and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. That was Acts chapter 7, verse 58. But in Acts chapter 14, verse 19, the same situation happened again. Satan has no new tricks. He keeps playing the same card. But if you and I grow as we are supposed to grow, we will shut the door that he has been using. And he will not be able to come in and go out. In fact, we will become untouchable. We will become unstoppable. Because we will block the door. Look at it. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, same thing, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Not supposing, you stone him till he cannot, he's not moving again. Look at the next verse. How be it? Let's read together. How be it? How be it? As the disciples stood round about him, he did what? Rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed Barnabas to Derbe. Impossible tasks. Looks impossible. But with God, nothing shall be called impossible. So God wants to enlarge our hearts and stop thinking naturally and start thinking only about God and what he's able to do. His majesty must fill our minds so that we come to a point where nothing is impossible. We dare to believe that is the will of God for us. Okay, so brethren, our relationship with God, with oversight, and our fellow brethren must grow. And indeed, it will grow in Jesus' name to produce such fruits and such power that the world will come to bow. Look at Isaiah 45 in verse 14. It's literal. It's going to be fulfilled in our lives in Jesus' name. Thus saith the Lord. Let's read it together. Thus saith the Lord. The labor of Egypt and the merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee in chains. they shall come over. They shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee, and there is none else. There is no God. Witnesses. Witnesses. It's that level of witnessing. There is a life. This message is actually, you know, is a spin-off from Paths, Joints, and Bands in the Body that Pastor preached, and Self-Denial in the Spirit. It's really from those two messages. So I'm not saying anything new. I'm just echoing what Pastor said. But it's important to note here that these people are human beings. Yet, people like them came to bow down. That means that they must have done certain things repeatedly, consistently. That they were like, you look like a human being, but honestly, I don't think you are a human being. They wanted to worship Paul, called him Jupiter, because the Bible says handkerchiefs were taken from his body. To go, that's glory. The same glory, yea, greater. Bible talks about that. The incredible photographic memory, incredible mathematical skills. They haven't seen anything yet. The ceiling of when men say that this is the ceiling, that is the beginning of when God begins. The Bible says the weakness of God is greater than men, and the foolishness of God is wiser than men. So it's important to understand that we have a higher life, like Pastor preached. There's a higher life that we must not miss in Jesus' name. We will not miss it. This life is preparatory so that we are found faithful to inherit that higher life. And we're going to inherit it in Jesus' name. So we see a pattern with Apostle Paul in Acts 26. And let's look at it. When God met him, and he, thank you, photographic memory, computational skills, language learning skills, they will be amazed. Their ears will tingle. You're finding it difficult to believe? Look at Israel. Like Pastor always encourages us. Look at natural Israel. In 70 years, technological, agricultural, military, you know, superpower. We've done in 70 years. What somebody could have done in 200 years? And then that was just the natural. This is the spiritual. This is the real McCoy. So brethren, it's time for our faith to rise. Look at what Paul said in Acts 26, verse 16. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's read it together. But rise, it's Ananias talking to Paul, and stand up on thy feet. God is talking to us today. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a... It's not enough to be a minister. Everybody can be a minister. Like Pastor Day was preaching so powerfully this morning. They are ministers and they are ministers. But when a person is a minister and a witness, you leave their presence changed. You cannot remain the same. And a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of the things in the which I will appear unto thee. So you recall, you relate to them what has happened here now. And then other things that I'll be showing you. So it's telling you that there is seeing what is going on in the spirit is extremely important. Next verse. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee. The deliverance is contingent upon the fact that he's walking in divine purpose. If he strays from divine purpose, the deliverance is not 100% guaranteed again. It's conditional. First of all, he told him the purpose. Then he said, because of this purpose, I will preserve you. You know, God appeared to Paul and told him, he said, don't worry, Paul, I'm going to be with you. When he was on the ship, don't worry, you're going to make it to Rome. You have to make it. You have to go to Rome. Brethren, we need to tie ourselves with the purpose of God. Put your life right smack, life of your loved ones, preach it to our children, and let that you live their lives inside the purpose of God. So that Satan cannot touch you, because there is no charge. Next verse. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. It's a full package. It's not only Paul, it's all of us. Ananias opened Paul's eyes and sent, God used Ananias to open Paul's eyes. Then God used Paul to open the eyes of several people, including Kenneth Hagin. Then Kenneth Hagin opened the eyes of Pastor and Mommy. Then God is using them to open our eyes. And then we are going to open other people's eyes until the whole place is full of people whose eyes are open. To see things the way they really are and not the way that Satan appears it to be. It's very important that we see the way. So this is what God is saying. So that scene there is talking about revelational knowledge. Okay? It's the light of God that from the Holy Spirit that shines in your heart. No, when you are reading the word. So it illuminates God's word, makes it come alive. And the end purpose of that light is to see Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. Because it's a mystery, it's hidden. So God unearths the mystery and lets you see that there is Christ in you. And if you allow Him to increase and you willingly decrease, then you will live a higher life. That's the secret. Look at Acts 22:14. We see the same thing in a nutshell. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's read together. And He said, the God of our fathers has chosen thee. Tell your neighbor, God has chosen you. You're not an accident. God chose you. Amen. That thou shouldest what? Know His will and see that just one and shouldest hear the voice of His mouth. Where does it start? You hear the voice of His mouth. Next thing is, you see the just one by revelation. And then you know His will and do it. It's progressive. Revelation is continuous and is progressive. We need to have revelation in order to be able to follow and inherit. The purpose of God in verse 18, Acts 26:18, is to start with forgiveness and the end is the inheritance. The Spirit without measure. Okay, and so, but between the beginning and the end, there's a journey, and that journey is the kind is typified by the type of journey that Elisha followed Elijah. He followed him. He couldn't follow him without seeing what. In fact, when he asked for the double portion, just like we are trusting God for a double portion, I'm going to receive it in Jesus' name. He said that if you see me, it's all about seeing. By revelation, not in the natural. It's extremely important that we understand that. Okay? So, spiritual blindness, not seeing what God is seeing, limits you. And if you look at blind Bartimaeus, it makes us beggars. We start begging for crumbs when we're princes in our own right. God will deliver us in Jesus' name. Because if it's relative. You know, I mean, relative to some others, your eyes are open. Well, relative, again. So it's not so much about your relationship relative to others. It's about where God wants you and I to be. So you are seeing what you're supposed to be seeing. He asked Jeremiah. He said, go and tell them. Say, I'm a child. And he said, don't say that. And he breathed on him and he said, oh yeah, what do you see? And then he changed it. The vision changed. He said, I see the rod of an almond tree. I see impossible things being done. Aaron's rod that budded. I see it. And said, yes, you have well seen. Now I will perform. What you don't see, God cannot perform. But what you see, God will perform. So we need to see. Say, I'm going to see in Jesus' name. So that's the will of God for us, okay? Blind Bartimaeus cried out. Even when Jesus didn't fall. Jesus asked him, what do you want? Just to make sure. You know, he could have said, I know it sounds ridiculous, but he could have said, this man is a good man. He's a very powerful man. Ogre, please give me plenty money now. Please. Because some people, begging is a profession. Begging is a profession. They think of it as they are making money. You know, but he didn't have that mentality. He recognized his handicap. Brethren, we must recognize our handicap. So that when God says personal prayer request, Lord, take it away. Take this handicap away. And He will take it away. And you will be able to follow in the way. Bartimaeus received his sight not to continue begging. Bartimaeus received his sight, not to go and start fishing. Bartimaeus received his sight to follow Jesus in the way. And every other thing followed that. Amen. That is the will of God. All right. Or even though 2 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 2. When you talk about witness, just so that we can have a clear picture about witness. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Give it to me in the Message Bible. It's broken down really nicely. Let's read it together. You yourselves are all the endorsement we need. Your very lives are a letter that anyone can read by just looking at you. The centurion read Jesus like a letter. And he developed faith. In fact, he developed great faith just by looking at him. Brethren, our lives are going to speak in Jesus' name. That is the will of God for us, okay? So, now there are levels of witnessing. Pastor has taught us levels of carrying the glory. So, I'm just going to hit it quickly. You know, there's the Stephen level. There's the Paul level. There's the Jesus level. So, the important thing is that at your level, you must be manifesting. You must be carrying the glory. And brethren, the glory is not something that's going to come. Something happened yesterday, you know. It was an unpleasant incident. But God turned it around supernaturally. And I said, Lord, this is glory in manifestation. What Satan has thought he has taken, he will return it. God will make him an offer he cannot refuse. He will return it. And you will recover all. It's not going to be. It's already now. It's already now. If you are properly aligned, if your womb is open, you will see those little miracles that are going on quietly in people's lives. And you will not. It's something to establish your faith that things are not natural anymore. We are in a new key. In a matter of hours, God just turned it around. And I said, this one is a new one. I've never seen anything like this. God is doing miracles, brethren. So our hearts must be open, okay? This is what God is doing. All right, so Philippians 3 verse 10. There are three things that Apostle Paul talks about there. Three things that we witness, apart from different levels of witnessing. Three things. It says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, verse 11, because that's not the end of it. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, the Lazarus transformation of the mortal body. Brethren, you know what I found out? Anytime, see, there are three things that we suffer, there are three things that we witness. We witness his suffering, is in verse 10, we witness his love. And the witness is power and glory. You must go. The Bible says, the man who come after me, let him what? Deny himself. The same thing. So you witness that suffering is denying the natural desires of the mind and the body that are programmed by the sin nature that is in the body. So you deny them. You starve it. So you can give time to God in prayer. Give time to God in the word. And you know when you do that? You separate yourself from the course of this world. There is a course of this world. Ephesians 2:2. There is a power that is tunneling people's lives in a particular way. It doesn't ask your permission. It just does it by default. You can only decide, look, I remove myself from this course. It's not my portion. Not saying, not my portion, is not going to change it. It is doing something about it. Paying the price so that God, he says, God has to remove you. I like the word the Marines use. God has to extract. They say we have to extract him from enemy territory. God will extract you from that system and set you on a brand new system that works based on divine principles. Supplies your needs and my needs according to the riches in glory, not by natural things. I saw that yesterday. We didn't have anything. And God restored fully. Fully. Give God a clap of it. Ah, God. Brethren, is the tip of the iceberg. But it gives you hope and encouragement that if we follow it to the end, what will God do? Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered in the heart of them that love him, what God has prepared for those that love him. Brethren, we must not miss it. We are going to witness his glory in Jesus' name. So that's the will of God for us. So brethren, anytime God spoke to me, you know, anytime the Bible talks about suffering, you know, there's a tendency to be suffering. But brethren, suffering is a positive thing. It's for our advantage, because what you are holding on to, if you hold on to it, except a corn of wheat die and fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. If you hold on to it, it's all you have. If you give it over to God, then God will take it, breathe upon it, give you more of himself, so you can handle the blessing he wants to bring back, because he wants to give you back good measure, press down, shake down, hundredfold. But you can't handle the hundredfold without the character of God. So that giving, that suffering is the root. And the time is relatively short compared to the time for enjoyment. So it's a win-win. It's if you understand, if you are seeing. We need to see. Because the Bible says that our light affliction, you know, is but for a moment. It worketh a far more exceeding magnitude and eternal time. Relative to the time you suffered. And look at Joseph. He suffered from 17 to 30. 40 years. Then his own dream came 110. So from 38 to 110. Do the math. How many years is that of enjoyment? 70 something. 70 something years of enjoyment. Compared to how many years? 14. Okay, round it up. 21. It cannot compare. That's what God is saying. It cannot compare. Bible says, I'll give you treasures of darkness, hidden riches stored in secret places. Okay. That's the will of God for us. Okay. So suffering is to enable us to receive durable riches with righteousness. I mean, there are riches and then there are riches. Bible says, strong men retain riches. God must give you the strength before he gives you the riches. So the suffering of self now is to enlarge your capacity so that you change your gigabytes. Amen. You change your RAM. You change your capacity. So you start operating on a bigger capacity. And then you can handle the greater memory. You can now handle all the complex Adobe Photoshop. All the things that would have been so slow on your other system, they work quickly now because your capacity is enlarged. A quick walk and cut it short in righteousness. That's the will of God. Now, why? Why is God doing this? And why should we be witnesses of his glory? This is our primary assignment on the earth, brethren. It's not to marry you, it's good to marry. I know this is the season. Amen. It's good to marry. Nothing wrong with it. But, brethren, have to keep your eyes on the ball. Like we say, when you're watching football, imagine have somebody watching football and he's looking around in the stands and they mention his name and he's looking. Who is that? Yeah. And he's getting carried away and they pass the ball to him. The same people that are shouting his name, they will curse him from where they are. They will curse him from where they are. Why? Because even though they are singing your name, you're supposed to be focused on what you're doing so that we can shout your name more. This is the key. We are shouting your name, but don't get carried away with our shouting your name. Keep your eye on the ball and do things that make us shout your name more and pretend as if you can't hear us. But then you have to be able to handle glory without letting your heart be wavering and, you know, be wavering left, right and center. Handle it. You know, footballers cannot be sitting down and saying, they can't. They run around, walk on, sometimes they ride the kilometers that are running there. I say the kilometers. I mean, they target what they do. But you know, it's real life. There's a cloud of witnesses that is that is cheering us on. There are blessings that are coming our way, but we stay and keep our eyes on the ball.
Don't let the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, family matters, social commitments, leisures and interests, lust of other things. These things are very subtle. If it could happen to John the Baptist, it can happen to you. So we need to take heed. So this is our primary assignment. John the Baptist was distracted by ministry. The rich fool was distracted by his wealth. His ice cream. Satan has many flavors. So if you think that, that one, he knows your number. You need to hide yourself in God. Amen. Don't say it's not there. It's there. The other human beings cannot see it. Don't live for the crowd. Look at his face and follow what he's asking us to do. Second reason, we are in the season of his glory. Let's look at it. Isaiah 28 verse 5 and 6. Isaiah 28 verses 5 and 6. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In that day, can we read it together? In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people. Your name is here in Jesus' name. Next verse. This is the day. He's a crown of glory. He's a diadem of beauty. And for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength, the joy of the Lord is your strength, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. This day we are not playing defense again. Mommy says it every morning. The best way to defend is to go on the offensive. We are now pursuing, we are overtaking, and we are recovering all. We've turned the battle, we've turned the tide. We're not running away again. We have grown. The church now was not the church then. There was a church that they stoned people and that was the end of it. But there was a church when they stoned people and they raised them up immediately. And those days are coming back again. So the Bible says, when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. So God is building up Zion. And we need a spirit of judgment. Judgment is not condemnation. Judgment just means that self-examination. You examine your thoughts. You examine your motives. You do it as frequently as you can. Moment by moment. It's training. It's practice. But the more you do it, the more you ensure that all your weapons are intact. The defensive weapons and the offensive weapons. So you are fully clad in your armor. So you stand, having done all to stand. But the spirit of judgment is necessary. That's the will of God. So in order to inherit glory, we have to do that. And David did it with Goliath. He did it in at least three places. First, he did it with Goliath. He took a stone. He ran towards him. He didn't. Everybody else was afraid. They put him in that armor. He said, "This armor cannot work for me." And he took the stone, these five stones, and he took the sling, and then he spoke. He first of all, God showed him Goliath's end. He's not circumcised. He has no covenant with God. You are circumcised. You have a covenant with God. Therefore, he's bred for you. That was the picture. Then he said it and declared it with boldness. Thank God for that Bible study. He said it, even though it looked you. Even the soldier said, "You, this boy, do you know what you're doing? This guy is massive. He's huge. He's a man of war from his youth. Are you sure?" It's impossible tasks. It takes divine strength. There are things that men will say is impossible, and we are going to change it. Oh, many things, brethren. Many, many things. Apart from the little ones God will do in your family. God will do in your life and correct. You know, there will be things that will be done on a massive scale that will announce that they that have turned the world right side up have come here today. It's going to be done. It's going to be done. So David did it with Goliath. Okay? So we put sin and the power of iniquity on the defensive. The sin nature doesn't run us around again. We now boss it around. I reject that thought. I reject that emotion. I choose this emotion. And I pray in tongues. And I change it. So it's not bossing you around anymore. I don't know why I'm feeling this way. It doesn't have to have a reason. Lord, have mercy on me. I receive the blood to cleanse my sins. I receive life and power in sufficient measure for my prayers. Lord, I thank you because you have not given me a spirit of fear, of power, of love, and of a sound mind. I have fullness of joy. I have pleasures forevermore. In Jesus' name. You blast him away. You blast him away. That's not how God is going to talk to you. God's going to talk to you by the Spirit of God through the Word. Not by feeling. Not by feeling. That's not some lies he tells us so that you can just come in and stay there and you don't know why you're feeling the way you're feeling. God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Alright, same thing. David did it with the Amalekites again. He pursued, he overtook, he recovered all. Then he did it one more time to conquer the entire promised land. Three times. Perfect. Three times he did it. He pursued, he overtook. Just show us that it's possible. So what are we going through, brethren? It's time to put that thing on the defensive. It's time to arise and take the offensive. After you have done what pastor asked you to do, do extra. And let's see who's going to be standing, you or that thing, at the end of the day. It's how bad we want it. And consistency and diligence. Amen? That's the will of God. So how do we do it? To explain, I can't but say that I'm impressed by pastor's mastery of biology. The other day, masterful. that description. No, but you know, just to use that analogy, you know, in we define health, the WHO defines health as well-being, physical, mental, social well-being, spiritual. They forgot that one. Just add it for them, okay? Spiritual well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. Some people say that they're healthy, but they have no disease. But by WHO definition, you are not healthy if you don't have mental well-being. You're not healthy if you don't have social well-being. Well-being. Can you walaye? Ko walaye ara? I don't know how to say. Well-being. That's what it is. Well-being. That is, I'm feeling well. I'm happy with myself. I have a sense of confidence in myself. I am happy with my position and what I'm doing. And yes, that's well-being. Now, they say that's physically. No, the body of Christ has had challenges, sicknesses, diseases, spiritually. But God is healing. Amen. God is healing. And where it is healed, God wants well-being. God is not satisfied with merely the absence of disease or infirmity. He wants to go for well-being. It's like an athlete. You know, before somebody begins to run and whatever exercise that they do, you know, they're healthy. So when we say you should do it, it is not that you are not healthy. It is to improve well-being. Because when you improve well-being, your circulation, your immune system, they are functioning at a level that is impressive. If you take the heart rate, the resting heart rate of an athlete, a standard athlete, any of these sprinters, any one of them. Okay, I don't want to mention any names. I just take any one of them. And they compare it to yours. Their heart is operating slower than yours. Slower than yours. Why? Because it is stronger than yours. A sound heart is the life of the flesh. Physically and spiritually. The same way, you know, so with little effort, with 58 beats in 1 minute, they will supply the whole body. Your own will do in 82. Some people will do it in 90. But they are operating. It's like they're at rest. They're at rest. Same with blood pressure. Your own is normal, oh. It's not raised in Jesus' name. But their own is lower than yours. Why? Well-being. The whole system, from the big vessels to the small vessels, capillaries, everybody's operating maximally, supplying what they're supposed to be supplying. So the amount of, there is no grugs, there is no stress, everything is just working in absolute harmony. The same thing God wants to replicate in the spiritual body, in your home, in your relationship with your children, with your colleagues in the workplace, with other students in the hostel, with your copper colleagues, with the unbelievers around you, with the person that defrauded you last week, and the person that threatened you that they're going to take that job from you. Brother didn't say any amen. They won't take your job in Jesus' name. What God has given, no man can take. If he's taking, it's to give you a better one. Have this mentality. You are more than a conqueror. Nothing happens to you without God's eyes. The question is, are you well positioned? So because if you are well positioned, enough power and life will come to turn anything around. He will turn it around. Just like it turned around for Paul. And there was no big deal. There was no party. There was no crusade. There was, hey, see me. I was dead and I'm alive. Just went back and did the work. No big deal. Went back and did the work. It's about the work. It's about the purpose. It's about fulfilling the purpose. And make sure that we open each other's eyes. We open each other's eyes. Whatever it takes. I know they treated you unfairly. Their eyes are not open. When the jailer, when he saw that earthquake, and his eyes were open, and he saw himself, what did he want to do? Wanted to kill himself. Paul was on and said, don't do it, don't do it. All of us are here. We won't go away because of you. Don't need to die. The man was so grateful. I said, tell me this, your God. I need to know him. Huh? You came to say, the person that inflicted the pain cleaned the wound. Clean the wound, you know. That's, brethren, that is love. Somebody beat you, took you, tore your clothes, now came back and they want to kill themselves. Brethren, let's say the truth. They beat you and disgraced you, shamed you, then they now enter the particular situation and they want to kill themselves. It's God that caught him, it's not me. The wickedness of his head fell upon him. Paul didn't do that. He didn't say it's wickedness. Come on. It is witness of glory. It's love. It's love. In operation, live and direct. The man gave his life. That kind of man, you think he will backslide? He's an uncommon type of love. The same kind of love our fathers love us with. When you do some things and they still love you. The same way, brethren, we must love others. And it's exercise. So, what are we saying? Is how do you do it? It's by your heart being sound. Your heart must be sound to receive blood, to receive life, to receive power in maximal measure. And then it must be sound to pump to anybody that needs it. You're not going to be selective and say, this Pastor Andrew, I don't like the way he does for me sometimes. Pastor Dewey, I will give him because he's a prophet and I don't want him to say anything against me. Let me give him. But Pastor Andrew, I'm not good. I love you, my brother. You don't have that. It's not your call. is too much for you to take that position. You just do what you're asked to do and trust God. That's the way it is. And as I speak to you, I speak to myself. So brethren, in summary, there's nothing I'm going to say here that we have not said before. But let me just say this. Our taste buds must change. So we desire the weightier matters of the kingdom and not the entertainment parts of Christianity. Not the tantalizing parts, but the weightier matters. And it is how does the child change from milk to food? It's by eating food now. When they give you amala, without any pepper, then they give you with small pepper that has just tomatoes. Then they add some. Gradually, the more you eat, the more they vary the food, and guess what? The more your taste change. By the time they give you the milk again, when you are 4 years old, like, oh, what's this one? I beg. Give me dodo and rice or something. Bible says, where by reason of time, we ought to be teachers. We ought to be teachers. We ought to be teachers. Why? Because we don't exercise ourselves in those things. So there are some things we must be doing consistently. Because they have an effect on our heart. Everything we're talking about has an effect on that. Christianity is not a religion where you just do things. Everything starts from the heart, because it's the state of the heart that determines the amount of grace and mercy, which determines the amount of life that you receive. That life gives you the strength to carry out the first works of prayer and the word, which now have an impact again on your actions, which directly impinge on your heart. It's from heart to heart. Starts in the heart, ends in the heart. But anytime, that's why the Bible says, by keeping the deeds of the law shall no man be justified. It is not by the law, external law alone. It is by the effect of what you're doing on your heart. That's Christianity. So, sincerity and humility are the two things. So, I'll just run through quickly. Sincerity. To accept God's word as truth, not your experiences. I know it's easier said than done. I know something happens to you, and it's very real. But the Bible says, John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What does that mean? Again, it's extraction. You are in the situation. In that situation, you put your faith in the word and you are extracted by God. And the word begins to turn that situation around rather than what you are seeing. And the more you are seeing things or things are evolving in the physical, the more you keep putting your eyes on the word. That's why the Bible says that we should be patient in tribulation, you know, rejoicing in hope, continuing instant in prayer. The hope is coming from the word. The prayer is coming from your heart. The two are meeting together to make you patient and to turn it around. James chapter 1. Count it all joy. Because you keep seeing. Because that's the word and the prayer will make you see what God is doing. So while the person is doing their own, you are seeing what God is doing. And you respond to what God is doing. That's the will of God for us. So that's the first thing. We need to accept God's word. So he sets us apart as pure vessels. The second one about sincerity is Proverbs 28, verse 13 and 14. As we begin to close. 28, 13 and 14. Since he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Or you assume you don't have sin. Or you cover it. Because people cannot see. Nobody knows except you and God. Therefore, you think you can cover it. It's a big mistake. Because Satan allows you to cover it. He wants to show you up publicly. That's why he's covering it. He's not on your side at all. He's not. That's why you need to obey the word. Say, whoso confess it
and forsake it. Like mommy teaches us every morning. Pastor William still repeated it today. It's not going back to our vomit. Forsake them shall have mercy. Mercy. God will help you work it out. Don't take Satan's word for it. He's a father of lies. When he speaks, it's a lie. What he's telling you is that he is not going to. He is not. It's better for you to side with the truth than to believe the lie. Bartimaeus was ready to let go of his blindness. He didn't hold on to it. Okay? So God really, particularly sins of omission, brethren. Sins of omission, you know, we there's some things we do, you know, and that's why we need, that's part of what, because talk about well-being, we need to be systematic, you know, about what we do spiritually. You know, this I need to have, this is, I pray this, I read my Bible, this, you know, we need, all of us, we need to, in spite of whatever you're involved in, because this is your real life. That life, this is the center that is feeding that one. So after you have done that one, thank God, and you are at home, I mean, you need to find time for this life and invest in this life. When you sow to yourself in righteousness, you will reap in mercy as the will of God. Okay? And this is, it is as we receive mercy to give us life that progressively we move out from the good will of God to the acceptable will. And from the acceptable will of God into the perfect will. That's the will of God. Second one is humility. Willingness to practice what we have been shown, what has been revealed to us, promptly. Sometimes there's even no time to think. Just do it. First one is forgiveness. Releasing the blood. Asking life for people. Praying for them in tongues. 1 John 5:16. If any man sees brother sin a sin that is not unto death, he shall ask life for him. It's an injunction. It's humility. It's irrespective of your feelings. Response to correction. When we are corrected, we see, Bible says that, no, let the righteous smite me. It shall be excellent oil. It's anointing. Correction is anointing. And it's a bad word in the body. We're not, nobody likes to hear about correction. But you cannot increase your anointing without correction. As you read the Bible and God corrects you and you align with the correction, your anointing increases. That's why it says, let the righteous smite me. It will be excellent oil. It will not break my head. So correction is not a negative thing. It's a positive thing. But all these things in the body work from holding the head. So it is at the degree to which we hold the head and we have the nourishment being ministered that we can be effective with other parts of the body. That's what the Bible, there's a scripture Pastor Briga shared, you know, one of the Bible studies, after the Bible study, Pastor shared, the mommy also shared, and Pastor Briga also shared. And I remember what he said, you know, in particular, because it tied in here with last aspect of holding the head. It was in 2 Corinthians, you know, chapter 6, where it says, I think in verse 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 11, where it says, it says that you are straightening your barrels. Okay, this is it. It says, oh ye Corinthians, this is Paul talking to them, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarge. Next verse. You are not straightened in us. So if there's any short flow, if there's any shortage of the flow of the life and the power of God, it is not in us. Our hearts are enlarged fully to you. But you are straightened in your own bowels. And the effect of that straightening is that there is unrighteousness coexisting with righteousness. You know, there is if you go down, you know, there is evil associated with good in the same person, because the flow is not enough. But if the heart gets enlarged as we exercise our hearts, then the bowels are open, and just by the virtue of the flow, the life will flush out the sin nature,
break the power of iniquity, and what used to look attractive stops being attractive, and you now become, Bible says, how does it say it? Further down, it says, touch not the unclean thing, and I will be father unto you, and shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Almighty Jehovah. So it's about enlarging our hearts, really. You know, and as I speak to you, I speak to myself. Aligning ourselves, our hearts, with God's purpose, with God's interest. Looking out for God's interest. Like Ruth, looking out for the interest of those in authority over us. What will make them happy? What will give them rest? Obedience. Like Ruth, it says, entreat me not to go. And many times it's sacrificial. With Ruth, it was sacrificial. She really gave up her life as it was. But she got a higher life that had significance on earth. That's what God is offering you and I, brethren. Watching and praying. Praying with travail. We do that once every 6 hours. That's watching and praying, at every opportunity, in every temptation. Bible reading, meditation strengthens us, builds us up. Fasting and leading a fasted life. This is what God wants to do. So, brethren, there's nothing new. It's just the fact that we need to exercise because of well-being. It's not enough. And even if you say there is not physical, spiritually, the body must be working perfectly. God is not going to settle for anything less than the bride of Christ operating in perfection. Let us pray. Let's talk to God. Ask Him to open up our womb. To enlarge our hearts. Receive mercy for the sins of omission and start doing them. Don't focus on the commission. Focus on the omission. Start using the mercy and the grace of God to keep the law of life and love using the word by the help of the Holy Spirit. More diligently. More diligently. So frequently. So there is no room for omission. God is not condemning you. He's just telling you there's more available. Don't be satisfied with what you have. Move out of the goodwill into the acceptable. Move out of the acceptable into the perfect. It's not a function of time. It's a function of your will. Decision. Determination. Discipline. And diligence. We declare your majesty. We proclaim that your name is exalted. For you reign magnificently, rule victorious. The end, your power is shown through all the earth, and we exclaim, our God, you're mighty, we lift up your name, for you are holy. Adoration, we bow before your throne, and we exclaim. Yes, He is mighty.
Our God, You're mighty
in our lives. So we lift up Your name, for You are holy, holy, holy. We sing it again. Adoration, Lord, we bow before Your throne. In adoration, we bow before Your throne. Lord, we bow before Your throne. We bow before Your throne.
We bow before
Sing it
Your
to Him.
Throne.
The bowing in the heart.
We bow before Your throne.
We bow before Your throne. Bow before Your throne. We bow before Your throne. We bow before Your throne. We bow before Your throne. Now let's raise up our right hand to God. Now we need more of Him. We're desperate for more of Him. That He may increase and that we may decrease. And put that left hand on your heart. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word that has come to me this afternoon, showing me that it is Your desire to turn my heart away from my own ways unto Your own ways, from disobedience to the wisdom of the just, so that my heart is better aligned with the hearts of my fathers, as You have sent Your servants to declare. So Father, I give You my heart. Help me with my heart. Turn my will to embrace Your will. Cause my thoughts to receive Your thoughts. Help me, Lord, that Your emotions will be my feeling and my reality, in the name of Jesus. Help me to watch and to pray consistently, to exercise and practice humility and sincerity, so that my womb, the womb of my heart, will be open and life in more than sufficient measure will flow to heal me and keep me as a viable, vibrant, productive member of the body, contributing to the increase of the edifying of the body of Christ in love and in glory. Father, have mercy on me to be faithful and diligent in Jesus' name. Let's pray in the Spirit. Rabakashonea, Rosakanto, Jeke Kolebebele Kokotuman Pampan Kanse, Seke Kokokua Bayante, Roaia, Rodiando Tombe Kedante, Zelebele Kakai, Yewaria, Redebea, Benedebukan Samba, Jeffreyan, Ongadi Kanai, Bako Bata Kate Kaja, Jeka de Beberica, Makako Kakaye, Rodebotumba, Baba Batata, Legebea. Regamio, Rene, Bide, Rana, Zekele Bebedi, Rongale, Berele Bedi, Koko de Bebedi.
Thank You, Lord, for Your power to change us from within, truly causing us, Lord God, to be witnesses, demonstrators of Your glory. Yes, Lord, we say thank You for working in us to will and to do of Your marvelous good pleasure in this day of the manifestation of Your glory. We thank You, Lord, because each one of us, Lord, as we hear this word, as we follow after the Father's, Lord God, as we dwell, Lord God, in Your secret place, the place of revelation knowledge, the place of prayer, You will transform us within, causing us to take on Your inward likeness, so we too be known, O Lord God, as messengers of Your glory. We thank You for the privilege of being partakers of this divine benefit. We return to You all the glory, all the praise, and all the thanks. We give thanks with a grateful heart for all You have done, that which we are doing, and that which is yet to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's share the grace as we close. So Lord, under the covering of our fathers, under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, even the shepherd and bishop of our souls, we say, may the Lord bless and keep us all. The Lord make his face to shine upon us. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us. May the Lord God give us peace. God makes us head and not tail. I say we are head and not tail, above only and not beneath. And so we prosper in all that we set our hands upon to do. We're at least 10 times better than our peers by an ever-increasing enlightenment of our minds in the name of Jesus. And so we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death. So we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. The Lord satisfies us with long life, and he shows us his salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ in the name of Jesus. And so the Lord imparts to us the anointing of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's share the grace. And so may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell you, you are a messenger of God's glory. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.